I would like to read a verse first. And then I'll read Srila Prabhupada, part of Srila Prabhupada's commentary, the verse. And then we can speak about this a little bit, hopefully in relationship to today's event. As Krishna Prabhupada was saying, that we're observing the 40th anniversary celebration of establishment of the Swiss Yatra. And devotees are speaking a lot, their different realizations and memories of Srila Prabhupada, especially since those devotees who were instrumental in establishing this yatra and every yatra throughout the world did so on the strength of Srila Prabhupada's unlimited compassion, kindness, and purity. And this verse and commentary actually helps us to capture the essence of how Srila Prabhupada established the Krishna consciousness movement and the principles upon which he founded this movement. And it is a very important verse from Sri Upadeshamrita, which is well known to many devotees, I'm sure. Tadati patikrinati guyam akyati prichkriti bhunte bhojayate chaiva shadvidham priti lakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad, and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. Purport. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami explains how to perform devotional activities in the association of other devotees. There are six kinds of activities: giving charity to the devotees, accepting from the devotees whatever they may offer in return, opening one's mind to the devotees, inquiring from them about the confidential service of the Lord, honoring prasad, or spiritual food given by the devotees, and feeding the devotees with prasad. An experienced devotee explains, and an inexperienced devotee learns from him. This is guyam akyati prichchati. When a devotee distributes prasad, remnants of food offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to maintain our spirit of devotional service, we must accept this prasad as the Lord's grace received through the pure devotees. We should also invite pure devotees to our home, offer them prasad, and be prepared to please them in all respects. This is called bhunte bhojayate chaiva. Even in ordinary social activities, these six types of dealings between two loving friends are absolutely necessary. For instance, when one businessman wishes to contact another businessman, he arranges a feast in a hotel and over the feast openly expresses what he wishes to do. He then inquires from his business friend how he should act, and sometimes presents are exchanged. Thus, whenever there is a dealing of priti or love in intimate dealings, these six activities are executed. In the previous verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advised that one should renounce worldly association and keep company with the devotees, sangha tyagat sato vritte. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. The society was started single-handedly, but because people are coming forward and dealing with the give-and-take policy, the society is now expanding all over the world. We are glad that people are donating very liberally to the development of the society's activities. People are also eagerly accepting whatever humble contribution we are giving them in the shape of books and magazines dealing strictly with the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. We sometimes hold Hare Krishna festivals and invite life members and friends to participate in the feasting by accepting prasad. Although most of our members come from the higher rungs of society, they nonetheless come and take whatever little prasad we're able to offer them. Sometimes the members and supporters inquire very confidentially about the methods of performing devotional service, and we try to explain this. In this way, our society is successfully spreading all over the world, and the intelligentsia of all countries is gradually appreciating of Krishna conscious activities. The life of the Krishna conscious society is nourished by these six types of loving exchange among the members. Therefore, people must be given the chance to associate with the devotees of ISKCON, because simply by reciprocating in the six ways mentioned above, an ordinary man can fully revive his dormant Krishna consciousness. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Omnitabhina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Okam Guroti Vachalam Pangum Bangayate Giri Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Yunatarana Nama Om Vishnu Gadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vidanta Swamiti Namahe Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Niyavashesha Shanyavari Pastachale Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasana Gaurava Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, as we said, this is an important verse for the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Srila Prabhupada expressed in his commentary how he established the movement on the basis of this verse, loving exchanges. And he explained that this movement was started single-handedly. Many people came, accepted what we had to offer in the way of Krishna consciousness. And now they are reciprocating. People are coming forward and taking up and assisting us in our activities. And the type of loving exchanges Rupa Goswami speaks about in this verse are very, very basic activities of Krishna consciousness. Very simple and basic. But as with everything in our Krishna consciousness movement, the important ingredient is the love. Just as Krishna himself also says, Patra Pushpa Palantaya Yumi Bhakti Prayachati, that if one offers me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, a water, with love, I'm inclined to accept it. And of course we understand it's the ingredient of love which makes Krishna inclined to accept the offering. Otherwise, how could Krishna be possibly interested in a leaf or a little water or a flower or a piece of fruit? Where he also explains in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Bhagavo Mataksavam Pravartate, I'm the source of the material and spiritual worlds, everything emanates from me. So if everything is coming from Krishna, then how is it that he's captivated by a little water or by a piece of fruit or a leaf? He's captivated because of the love. And it's love that Krishna sees, and it's the love which makes Krishna inclined to accept the offering. And in fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully satisfied in possessing only devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the activities of those devotees. So those who are proud, are puffed up, due to high education, great opulence, aristocracy. They're generally proud of possessing such things, and sometimes they deride devotees of the Lord. And even if such persons offer the Lord worship, the Lord is not inclined to accept it. He doesn't want it. In other words, Krishna, this verse was spoken by Narada Muni to King Pachini Maharaj, and he was explaining how that the devotee is very dear to Krishna who relishes the opportunity to serve Krishna with love. And therefore the Lord relishes his activities and is very inclined to accept whatever the devotee wishes to offer. Even there's the story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat of the Shukambhara Brahmachari, who lived simply by begging pieces of broken rice. And he would wander about living very simply. People would ridicule, make fun of him. But Vrindavan Das Thakur said that Shukambhara Brahmachari never understood the meaning of the word poverty. Couldn't understand what it means. Somebody eating so simply. In fact, he would even go to the homes of householders, not the wealthy householders. He would go to the homes of householders who only had broken rice, not first-class rice, broken rice. And he would collect a few grains from each home and he would take it. And he would accept that as his prasad. Why was he... Was the word poverty unknown to him? Because he was satisfied. I believe that verse was quoted this morning. Narayana paraksabhi nakatis kutasthin yagiviti svaga pavaga narakesha apitu yata darshana. This verse spoken by Lord Shiva, that the devotee is satisfied in any condition of life, whether he's in heaven, he's hell, he's liberated. For him it's all the same because he's only interested in one thing. Devotional service. And therefore he can be satisfied wherever he is as long as he has the opportunity to serve. So Shukambhara Brahmachari was so satisfied, yet the Lord was very eager to accept his offering of rice from his hand. In fact, the Lord called Shukambhara to come over, and then the Lord snatched the rice out of his hand even before Shukambhara offered it to him. That's how eager he was to have it. He said, I want it from your hand. And even one time he told Shukambhara, he says, I want you to cook for me. And Shukambhara was bewildered. He said, why would you want to take food from me? And he actually went around to all the Vaishnavas and asked them, you know, what am I supposed to do? How can I accept his request? Is he fooling me? What is he, you know, joking with me? And the devotee said, well, if you're so upset about having to offer something to the Lord with your hands, then don't touch anything when you cook for him. So Shukambhara, accepting the request of the Vaishnavas, he went home and began cooking, but he was very, very careful not to touch anything. And the Lord went about his midday duties, and then when he returned to Shukambhara's home, he entered into the home and looked at all the Vaishnavas present, and Shukambhara immediately prepared everything, prepared first-class rice with ghee, and was very careful never to touch anything. And then when the Lord entered, he looked at all the devotees, and Shukambhara arranged and brought the rice over to the Lord. As soon as the Lord tasted it, he says, Shukambhara, he says, friends like you are the root from which I grow. He says, this rice is so wonderful. How did you cook it so nicely? And in this way, he was so eager that even though Shukambhara was so humble, feeling so unqualified, but the Lord was eager, very eager, to accept because of the love. He understood that here's a devotee with love. I want to take from his hand. And therefore, Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yomi Bhakti Pravyachiti. If you offer me a leaf, flower, fruit, water, with love, I want it. I will accept it. Not that Krishna needs it. We benefit. Prahlad Maharaj gives the example in Srimad Bhagavatam. He gives the example of just like a person, a woman, when she goes into the mirror to decorate her face, she doesn't have to decorate her reflection at the same time, automatically. It automatically happens. Prahlad Maharaj uses this as an example. When you offer something to Krishna, you benefit. He doesn't benefit. He doesn't need it. We benefit because we get the opportunity to offer something to him with love. And of course, criteria of love is Rupa Goswami explains, Ani Pilasita Sunyam Jnana Kamanyanamutamanu Kuyina Krishnanu Shiyana Bhakti Uttama. The symptom of love is when first class devotional service arises, it's devoid of any material desire, it's devoid of knowledge of the monistic philosophy and fruitive actions. Therefore, a devotee, he always offers to Krishna constantly, favorably, as Krishna desires. This is first class devotional service. Without it, expecting something in return. This is first class devotional service. This is one of the symptoms. It's the tashta lakshana. The main symptom of love is that it's for Krishna, it's for his pleasure, and it's according to his desire. And that the tashta, the secondary principle, is done without, I don't want anything in return. This is how a devotee actually offers something to Krishna. That's his love. And Srila Prabhupada explains that he established this Krishna consciousness movement on the basis of loving exchanges. It was Srila Prabhupada's loving exchanges, his giving Krishna consciousness, love, without expecting anything in return, and being satisfied in any condition of life. However, Krishna, wherever Krishna put him, wherever Krishna gave him, he was always satisfied. He was satisfied because he had Krishna within the core of his heart. This is very important. This was the symptom of his love, that Krishna was there within the core of his heart. And there's a very, very important story in this connection which helps us to understand this point. It's very illustrative of how the Lord manifests himself in the heart of a devotee. And then, of course, the devotee who has the Lord in his heart, the devotee then gives what's in his heart, and that's his love. So the story, of course, is the well-known story of Maharaj Ambarish. And Maharaj Ambarish was a very great king. And he was always engaged. All his senses, his mind, his words, his body, everything was always engaged, 100% in the service of the Lord. He would use his eyes to see the deity form of the Lord, his ears to hear the glorious pastimes of the Lord, his tongue only to taste Krishna prasadam, to speak the glories of the Lord, his legs only to walk to the temples of the Lord, his hands touching the Vaishnavas, touching the devotees of the Lord. He's completely absorbed, 100% in service. And one time, he was observing a fast. He was serving the Ekadasi and Dwadasi fast. And after observing it for 1 year, he was doing a complete fast for 3 days, and then for the Ekadasi and then the Dwadasi, and then he had to break his fast, as we all know. And it just so happens at that time, Durvasa Muni appeared. And Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish welcomed him, accepted him, and offered him something to eat. And Durvasa said, well, actually before I eat, I want to take a bath. So Durvasa Muni went down to the river to take a bath, but it just so happened, the time he was taking bath was the exact time that Maharaj Ambarish had to break his fast. And if he didn't break his fast, then everything he had done would be lost. He would not derive any benefit from the fast. So he consulted the Brahmins and asked them, what should I do? He said, maybe if I just take a little water, because water is considered to be both fasting and not fasting. If you take a little water, it's not really that you're breaking the fast. But at the same time, it's considered taking something. So the Brahmins agreed. This, yes, this sounds like a very good idea. Why don't you do it? Durvasa Muni is now taking his bath. So Maharaj Ambarish, he took a little water. Durvasa Muni finished with his bathing. He came back to the palace. And because of his mystic potency, when he arrived there, he immediately understood that Maharaj Ambarish is taking something. Broke his fast. And he became very angry because Durvasa Muni is, he can be sometimes easily angry. And became very disturbed at Maharaj Ambarish, and as we know that he wanted to punish Maharaj Ambarish. What kind of a host are you eating before your guest eats? This is not proper. You need to be punished. And he took some strands of hair, I think, and threw it on the ground, and the fiery demon came to punish Ambarish Maharaj. But Ambarish Maharaj, he simply sat there doing what he always does, remembering the Lord. And the Lord, observing the whole event, immediately invoked his chakra to devour the demon and to protect his devotee Ambarish Maharaj. When the chakra appeared, the demon was destroyed, and the chakra did a 180-degree turn, faced Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni began to realize, wait a minute. This is a dangerous place to stay. I think I better get out of here. And because Durvasa Muni had the capacity to travel to many places, he immediately began seeking shelter, traveling through the forests, through the oceans, went to so many different places, and tried to avoid the chakra, but the chakra was always very close behind. And he could feel the heat. I guess that's where the expression comes. He feels the heat. He was feeling the heat. And then he went to Lord Brahma, to the heavenly planets. And Lord Brahma said, well, actually, under these circumstances, the only thing I know how to do is take shelter of the Lord. You should probably try to do the same thing. He went to Lord Shiva. Upon coming before Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva also, in a similar way, explained to Durvasa Muni that, sorry, I can't do anything to help you. You know, if you want some assistance, you better go to Lord Vishnu, because absolutely it was him that invoked the Sudarshan Chakra. And then he came to Lord Vishnu, because he had that power to go before Lord Vishnu, and he fell before Lord Vishnu. He said, look at me, have compassion, I'm suffering. I've come to take shelter of you. And the Lord says, no, I can't do anything to help you. And he actually had two very important verses which are explained in which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a commentary which helps us to understand this point. First verse was when the Lord said to Durvasa Muni, he says, I'm not independent. I'm completely under the control of my devotee. And he said that because my devotees are freed from all material desires, I sit only in the core of their hearts. And then he says, what to speak of my devotees? Even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. He tells that to Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was a little bewildered. And the Lord went on to describe how the devotee controls the Lord by his love. And he explained in another very important verse. He said, the devotee is always in my heart. And I'm always in the heart of my devotee. The devotee doesn't think of anyone but me. And I don't think of anyone but him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in the commentaries, he helps us to understand this exchange between Lord Vishnu and Durvasa Muni. And he actually gives us a little dialogue, which is the essence of these verses. And this This essence is, of course, is the essence that we're going to speak about the love in the heart of Krishna's devotee. And the essence is, Durvasa Muni says to Lord Vishnu, he said, I'm coming before you, you're the Supreme Lord, and I'm suffering. Can't you think of my suffering? Can't you? When you see somebody who's coming, who else can I go to? If I'm coming to you, when you see somebody suffering like me, can't you have a heart? And the Lord explains very confidentially to Durvasana, and he said, actually, I can't think of your suffering. And he says, my devotee is so dear to me that he takes me into the core of his heart and he serves me so nicely in the core of his heart. He's always thinking of me. He's always trying to please me and satisfy me. And then I'm a person. I want to give something to him. So I say to my devotee, what would you like? My devotee says, I don't want anything. But the Lord says, certainly you must want something. But the devotee always says, no, I only want to serve you. That's all. Just let me serve you. So he takes me into his heart and I try to give him something. And every time I offer something to him, he says, I'll be happy if you just let me serve you. I don't want anything. Well, I want to give something to my devotee. But what can I give him? He doesn't want wealth. I do not want wealth. I do not want followers. I do not want to enjoy beautiful. My devotee doesn't. How will I satisfy my devotee if I give him this? He doesn't want it. Doesn't want a position. Doesn't want heavenly planets. Doesn't want any of these things. But I want to give him something. So therefore, even though he doesn't ask for it, I give him my greatest treasure. I give him that which I have in my treasure house, which will be the greatest treasure for him. So I reach into the treasure house and I give him my heart. You're telling me you have a heart? And I'm saying, I don't have one. My heart's over there. And you're telling me to think of you. How can I think of you? He's got mine too. Because the devotee's always thinking of me, and I'm always thinking of him. He's always in my heart, and I'm always in his heart. You want my heart, you want my mind. Sorry. I can't help you. You got to go to my devotee. He has it. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur actually explains the essence of this verse is that the devotee has the Lord in his heart. And because he has the Lord in the heart, he has the greatest treasure in his heart. The Lord has given his heart to the devotee. And because the Lord has given his heart to the devotee who is fully satisfied in every condition of life, what does he give? Because he doesn't expect anything. He doesn't want it. He's satisfied. He's already got the greatest treasure. He's so satisfied with service. That's why Narada said to King Vajini Bharisha that the devotees, I relish the activities of my devotees. I relish them because they're satisfied only with devotional service. They don't want anything else. Indeed, that's all they want is service. So they never do anything to the Lord and say, oh, I want something back. Even Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers, when Lord Nrisimhadev offered a benediction to Prahlad, Prahlad Maharaj said, oh Lord, don't do that to me. Don't you know I was born in a family of demons? Why are you tempting me like this? Don't ask to give me something. I don't want any benediction. I said, and then he said, actually, I tell you what, you are my master, and I am your servant. Let it stay just like that. If you want to give me a benediction, you be my master, let me be your servant. That's all. Don't tempt me by anything else. Prabhupada Maharaj, of course, later he asked the Lord to forgive his father. And we heard about the mentality of Prabhupada Maharaj this morning in Mohini Sutta Prabhu's class. He wasn't even thinking of his own deliverance. He didn't want anything for himself. That's the symptom of a devotee. A devotee is satisfied in every condition. He doesn't want anything for himself. In fact, Lord Chaitanya, when he was describing, Lord Chaitanya Prabhu was quoting a very important verse. It's actually Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said this verse is the Siddha Pranali for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Siddha Pranali. He says, you want to know what is your Siddha perfection? It's all found in this verse. Janadi Bisunichana. And Lord Chaitanya, when he was explaining this verse, he specifically was quoting the verse Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Hoite Hoisava Jalan Ishtira, that in the age of Kali, the Lord incarnates in his holy name. And anyone who associates with the holy name of the Lord is as good as associating with the Lord directly. And then he went on to explain the attitude on which the devotee has to chant the holy name. Trinadipi Sunichina. He says, gives the example, the tree, if the tree is drying up, it never asks for anybody for water. And if the tree has its branches broken, it never complains. And he says that, therefore, a devotee of the Lord, even if he's rebuked or chastised, he's never inclined to seek revenge. This is the symptom of a devotee. And neither does he ever ask for anything for himself. He accepts whatever is offered to him. And he uses it for the service of the Lord. He says, one who constantly chants the holy name of the Lord and accepts everything in this spirit, he says, his devotional service is solidly maintained by such a devotional behavior. And then he said, therefore, every devotee should take this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarodapi Suhishtana, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, you could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And Lord Chaitanya says, you take this verse, you string it on the thread of the holy name of the Lord, and you wear it around your neck for constant remembrance. This is instructions. This is how a devotee, he's satisfied. He's satisfied because he has the greatest gift. The Lord is so pleased by such a devotee that he gives the devotee satisfaction in any condition of life, and therefore, such a devotee is so satisfied, he can give Krishna to others because he has the most valuable possession within his heart. That is the loving exchange that Srila Prabhupada established this Krishna consciousness movement. He established it on the principle of love. And he said that actually this movement is established on this principle of loving exchanges. Loving exchange means giving without expecting anything in return. Giving. Giving what? Giving food. Offering food. Offering charity. Revealing one's mind and confidence. Srila Prabhupada says in the commentary, the inexperienced devotee inquires and the experienced devotee he gives. He reveals the confidential teachings. He's giving. He's giving the holy name. Srila Prabhupada giving the holy name in the same mood as Lord Chaitanya, freely giving the holy name of the Lord. And he said, I started this movement single-handedly. We gave them the holy name. We gave them prasadam, as Srila Prabhupada did at 22nd Avenue. Srila Prabhupada, all he had, he would take an apple, he would slice it up, and everybody after the lecture, he would take a piece of the apple, put it in their hands, and everybody would so grateful to accept that apple from Prabhupada's hand. That was his love. Of course, later, Srila Prabhupada started cooking himself, preparing a feast. The description of the first Sunday feast in New York, Srila Prabhupada, he cooked the feast himself. He stayed up. At 11 o'clock at night, he started to cook the preparations for the next day. He said, first we can make some preparations today. We can make sweet rice, we can make gulab jamuns, and chutney. He said, these things can be served cold the next day. So at 11 o'clock, he called everyone into the kitchen and started to show them how to make these. It was the first Sunday feast. And then after starting at 11, making sweet rice, for 50 people, he cooked for 50 people. Sweet rice, gulab jamuns, chutney. And then he got up early in the morning, very early in the morning as he did every day. And then he did his chanting. He gave class as he did every morning with all the devotees. And then he immediately began cooking the feast. Invited everybody into the kitchen, had them rolling puris, had them rolling, cutting the vegetables. And the whole description is there, how Srila Prabhupada is teaching them how to make samosas also. I remember the first time I was taught how to make samosas, and I could not get those. Just couldn't do it. You know, I drop it in the ghee and just immediately open up. And Prabhupada was teaching them how to roll out the puris flat. He said, no, you do it like this. And I remember I used to do cooking classes, and I used to have students come when I was traveling in New England. We'd go to the colleges and teach students puris, how to make puris, and they would come with their rolling pins, and you'd get these squares and octagonals, and, you know, like, you just couldn't get around. And the same thing was happening. Prabhupada was very patiently with everybody trying to show them how to make the puris and cut the vegetables. And then he cooked all the preparations. Two sabjis, halva, sweet rice, chutney. I think there was like 12 preparations. And Prabhupada, you know, cooked the whole thing himself. And sometimes he would even clean up afterwards. He would clean up. Imagine. And serve it out. He would call all the devotees up to his room. And with his own hands, he would sit down. And they would sit down. He would, with his own hands, he would serve them prasadam. He was relishing seeing the devotee, relishing. He was deriving great pleasure seeing the devotees honoring Krishna Prasad. It was his love. His love. That's how he started the movement. And of course, it's how he expected the movement to go on. He expected the movement to go on in the spirit of loving exchanges. They're very relishable. Loving exchanges doesn't simply mean I give to you, you give to me. A loving exchange is I give to you, I don't expect anything in return. That's a loving exchange. Prahlad Maharaj even said, he said, don't tempt me. He said, I'm not a merchant. Why are you offering me a benediction? I want to serve you. I'm not engaged in any, I don't want to serve you for any mercantile affair. I'm not interested in these things. Don't put me in the position of being a merchant. That I give you something? Krishna knows if we're giving something and say, okay, Krishna, but Krishna is not bound by any contract to have to give something in exchange. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj, in a very wonderful verse also, he's speaking to his friends. He says, my dear friends, O sons of demons, you were sons of demons. Prahlad Maharaj, as they say, call a spade a spade. He would even address his father, oh, best of the demons. He's very kind and merciful. But he said, my dear friends, oh, sons of the demons, you can't please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if you become an expert Brahmin, or advanced in etiquette, or vast learning. Nor by austerities, chastity, great sacrifices, accepting vows. None of these things will awaken the Lord's pleasure. It says the Lord is pleased only if you have unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything else is simply a show. Prahlad Maharaj told his friends, simply a show. What does he mean, simply a show? It means Krishna's not looking. If there's no devotion, you can't get Krishna's attention. And if you can't get Krishna's attention, it's a show because it's for somebody else's attention, because Krishna's not going to look there. So Prahlad says, without unflinching unalloyed devotion, everything you do is simply a show. So sometimes we hear austerities. He cleared the whole slate. Not by austerities, great sacrifices, accepting vows, chastity. Prabhupada would oftentimes quote the verse, Bhagavat bhakti hinam hinam jati shastam chapastapam apranaseva dehanam mandalam loka ranjanam. This is for a person who's devoid of devotional service. Even if he takes birth in a great family or nation, even if he's expert in Vedic literatures, even if he knows all kinds of Vedic mantras, they're all like ornaments on a dead body. They simply serve the concocted pleasure of the general populace. Prabhupada would quote this verse many times. Ornaments on a dead body. What is the value of ornaments on a dead body? But even if a person can chant so many slokas, knows all the Vedic mantras, expert in the Vedas, but if there's no bhakti, they're like ornaments on a dead body. I remember actually, I have to end in 2 minutes. I don't want to end on something like this, but I'll say it real fast. I remember once I was reading in a newspaper, there was a headline in a newspaper about a gangster who was killed in Chicago. And he had his last wish is that he wanted to be put in the coffin filled with $100 bills in his hands. He's called, he said, coffin being put $100 bills in, like ornaments on a dead body. What is the value? So also the verse says that all these things are like ornaments on a dead body. If there's no bhakti, if there's no devotion, because it's the devotion that Krishna's very eager. That's what he's very eager to makes the offering very acceptable and relishable from the devotee. And of course it was Srila Prabhupada's devotion. It was Srila Prabhupada's devotion that made Krishna consciousness so accessible to us. He made Krishna accessible. That's how to make Krishna accessible. It's not by packaging him in some way to make him look attractive. Krishna's already all attractive. He's already the most attractive. We don't need to package him. Prabhupada made Krishna accessible because he always carried Krishna in his heart. And because he would only give Krishna. He would only give Krishna, nothing else. How can such a loving exchange be refused or denied? That loving exchange empowered devotees to serve and to please him. And that loving exchange, if preserved in our Krishna consciousness movement, the essence of his mood, he taught us by his example. He's Acharya. He's the founder of Acharya. That means he taught us by his example how to have loving exchanges. And this way, it is the responsibility of the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement to actually preserve Srila Prabhupada's mood and to understand how to have loving exchanges in the same mood that he taught us, that he built and established this Krishna Consciousness Movement. He expected his followers to be his representatives for generations to come. These things are very simple, essential principles of Krishna consciousness. And if we understand how Srila Prabhupada has taken such a wonderful verse from Rupa Goswami, Didati Pratigrinati Guyamakyati Pichati, loving exchanges between devotees can be experienced when there's love. And the symptom of love is how to please the devotees who are dear to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, because Lord Vishnu said, what to speak of my devotees? Even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. He established the principle. He says, I'm not independent. You want shelter from me? No, I'm not independent. Really? Because the devotees always carry me within the core of their heart. They do not want. They have no material desires, therefore I sit only within the core of their heart. What to speak of my devotees? Even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. This is the Dati Patipinati Guyama Prati Pichati. There's so much more we could say in this verse, but I'm very conscientious about following strictly the orders I've been given, which was to end at 5 o'clock. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I can't.
Oh, there's a question?
Am I supposed to have? I don't know. Yes? Yes. Yes. Okay.
Another example of that, what you were talking about, when one time one devotee told me he was a temple president for one place, doesn't matter where. And he had made a graphic display of some whole temples and devotees. So here's a department for this, and here's a department for that. And these devotees are cooking, these devotees are cleaning, these devotees are going at the same time, etc. And so Prabhupada, he saw that, and he said, what is the meaning of this? And the devotee explained to him, he said, look, Srila Prabhupada, from here I can understand exactly, I'm the temple president, I can understand who is where, doing what, etc. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, but if there's no love and trust, he said, then this whole arrangement is useless.
Yes. Sometimes we have great visions in our minds to do things, but if there's no love and trust, we're the only ones doing them in our minds, with nobody's inclined to help us. So we have to carry, the devotee has to be the carrier of that. Just to carry it. Prabhupada is always very careful. As we were saying the other day, Prabhupada was a guardian of devotional service. He was protecting us, protecting faith from developing fruitive mentality or the desire for liberation. Sometimes people think, oh, I just don't want to suffer anymore. But actually Krishna consciousness is much greater than that. Prabhupada was always protecting us from impure motives and watching very closely to make sure that we stayed on the right track. I'm sure you can think of many stories where Prabhupada would point out. By the way, remember, there's that famous story with Nirantara. There's a famous story of Nirantara. Oh, I shouldn't have said his name. When Prabhupada in America, and it was in 1975 when Radha Damodar, you were distributing so many books, and one devotee was holding up the book and said, Prabhupada, what is it that pleases you the most? You know, while he was holding up the book, and he wanted to say, he was expecting Prabhupada to say, oh, that you're distributing my books. And Prabhupada said, that you love Krishna. So many examples. Prabhupada just, he would immediately expose. Immediately expose.
That's such a talk.
No, I'm just pointing to the clock again. But, go ahead.
That's such a tall order to love Krishna, considering our state of being. And now, what do you suggest to us? How do we get closer to that?
Love Prabhupada.
Jai.
How can you get any closer than that? Give your life to him. Give your thoughts to fulfilling his desires and his instructions. Prabhupada will take care of the rest. Actually, we've just read that. We read that 2 days ago in that verse. Prabhupada says the acharyas make it easier. He said, the acharyas, when they cross the ocean and they leave the boat on the other side, he said, simply by serving them, they make the whole thing of surrender easier for us. So, love of Godhead is very difficult to achieve. But the acharyas who've crossed and leave the boat behind for us to go across, they make it easier for us. That's... Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.